Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Devil, he pulls dirty tricks. He comes in early and tries to see who he can pull out of a service. People come in with all kinds of things, you know, everywhere we go. And, you know, God, He just wants to get you free in every area, for you to walk in victory and have everything that He wants you to have. Well, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, that's what he's after. He's only good for one thing. But he can't have his way in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if you were in a denominational church that was dead and didn't have the Spirit of God operating in it, he could have his way. You know, it happens all the time, as you well know. We're not going to have that in here. You know? God has his way. This is not his service. You understand that, don't you? This is not his service. When this is not the devil's service, this is God's service. Amen. See? This is not the devil's ministry. This is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. I'm only the vessel that he uses to complete what he wants to do. I just yield to my part of it. You know, I just yield to what he has for me to do. I just yield to it. But it's his ministry. It's his ministry. It's not mine. It's not Shelley's. It's not our ministry. It's God's. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Well, turn with me tonight to 1 John. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 John, starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our words and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. You know, this word is life. You can't have a life in God without the Word of God. And you really can't have a life without the Word of God.
Amen.
You're going to be short in every area.
Amen.
You're going to be short your entire life unless you have the Word of God. He says, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And we talked about that last night. You know that I'm here that you can have fellowship. Have fellowship with me in God. You know, sometimes you need a little help. And that's what I'm here for. That's what others are here for. That you can have fellowship in God through their lives. You're not here to look up on me or look up on this ministry as any idol or anything, but we're here to help you to have the fullness of God in your life, to have the full life that God wants you to have. We're just helpers in that. So he goes on here and he says this. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And that's just what I said, that your joy may be full. I just want to be one that's a helper of completing your joy. Of completing your life. I want to be a helper in that area. I want to be able to be used by Him, that He may flow through me, that your joy may be made complete. That your life may be made complete. That you have the fullness of life.
Amen.
I want to be here for a part of that. See? And this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in God. If you're in God, you're in light. If you're not in God, you're in darkness, because there's no darkness in Him. There's all light. He is light. He is light, and there's no darkness in Him. That's why the Word of God says is that He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. In Him is all truth. If you're a partaker of a lie, then you're not in God and you're not walking in light, because He can't lie.
Amen.
Father, I just come against that right now. I come against that. It's trying to invade this service. I break its hold over it. In Jesus' name. I'll not tolerate it. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands to heaven. Worship You and thank You and praise You. Give You glory and honor and praise. I bind all confusion. In Jesus' name. I rebuke all confusion. Committed to leave right now. In Jesus' name. Not going to have it. Not going to tolerate it. Not going to tolerate it. In Him there is no lie. He's all truth. He's all light. And if you're part of untruth in any way, then you're not walking in Him. And if you're not walking in light, then you're walking in darkness. And you can't have both. See? You can't be in both. You can't walk in and say, well, I'm walking in God, but yet you do things that cause you to walk in darkness, become a part of darkness. We won't even talk about doubt and unbelief, how much of a sin it is. You know, we could go a long ways on that. Several services we could do on that, about doubt and unbelief, and that it's a sin. If you're walking in doubt and unbelief, you have sin in your life. You're actually walking in darkness. You're not walking in the fullness of light, because if you were, you wouldn't have any doubt and unbelief. See, I want the light. I want the light to fill my life, that my entire life walks in God's light, in the fullness of His light. Whatever it takes to get those things out of my life. Whatever it takes to get those things that are controlling little areas of my life that, you know, that I've just kind of grown used to. That are in my life and I've gotten just kind of used to them, you know, and put up with them. That's not God. That's not God's light.
Amen.
True.
Well, let's go on to James. Take this a little bit farther. Hallelujah. James chapter 3. Let's just go ahead and start with verse 1. Because if I don't read this to you, some of you will never read it. So I want you to hear it at least once in your life. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they're large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now there's a message we could go into and spend the next year in. But you take the Word of God and you can turn your whole life the right way. Because it's the Word of God is like a rudder. Your tongue, the Word of God on your tongue is like a rudder to a ship. It's like a bridle to a horse's mouth. Wherever you turn it, that's the way you're going to turn. That's the way your whole life's going to turn. Your whole life is in the Word of God. And how your life is determined by how much Word you have on your tongue.
Amen.
In your mouth.
Amen.
You have to have the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Well, if you don't put the Word of God in, it's not going to come out. You are what you are.
Amen.
And what you are comes to the surface.
Amen.
It comes out in your mouth. That's what you are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, whatever's in your heart, we're going to know. Everybody's going to know. You're going to know what's in your heart because it's going to come out of your mouth. You ought to listen to yourself. Well, I don't know if I'm healed or not. Doubt and unbelief. Darkness. See? Whatever is in your heart is going to come out. That's why I used to say, you know, well, you know, I want this and I want that. I said, well, your heart's corrupt. You say that you want a husband more than you want God, and your actions show it, or you want a wife more than you want God. Well, hey, your heart's corrupt. Because what's actually in your heart is coming out. Hey, a good husband is good. A good wife is a good thing. That's even a better thing than a good husband. But listen, God comes first.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What things? All the things that He wants for your life will be added unto you because you sought Him first.
Hallelujah.
But out of your heart comes what you are.
Amen.
You are what you speak because you speak what's in your heart.
Amen.
You are what you are. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You are what you are. Get you to thinking a little bit, won't it? About what you say the next time. So he goes on, he says this. In verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, a creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With your tongue, you bless God and the Father, and with it, you've blessed God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. You know, you've seen it before. People will, you know, you'll see a person and they'll just, you know, they'll talk about everybody and curse everybody outside the church and then come into the church. And I like how Pastor Dave puts it. He said they'll come into the church and say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You know, and then they'll go right back out talking about people. Go right back out cursing people. Yet they'll come right back in the next service next Sunday and they'll be up there singing, "How I Love Jesus." With the same tongue. They're not walking in light.
Amen.
They're really what they are.
Amen.
Will the real you please stand up? What was that show they used to have? I don't remember. My folks told me about it. There you go. See, now there we go. Now we know how old Earl is. Set you up on that one, didn't I? Yeah, it was before. before my Tim. I said my folks told me about it, you know. Yeah. Out of the mouth proceed. I just couldn't resist it. There's still a little bit of darkness in there. Needs cleaned up. You know, a little bit more light needs to come in. You know what I mean? Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If God says it, it's truth. We said He can't lie, right? Well, He says here that blessings and cursings should not be coming out of the same mouth. That it's not right. This should not be so. That's what He said. And yet He can't lie, so we know if He can't lie, then He must be speaking truth, so this must be true. There shouldn't be blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth. Verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Well, no, if you taste, you know, if you taste a spring, I don't know how many of you know about a spring. I was raised up with springs. I mean, they come out of the hillside everywhere where I come from. And I also know about western Oklahoma. You know, you can end up there with springs that come out of the ground that got alkali water in them, got gyp water in them. Well, you know, back home where I come from, you can have a good freshwater spring, just good and cool and just wonderful water. Wonderful water. And then you might find one that has sulfur water coming out of it. How many of you knows what sulfur water is? If you ever smelled a rotten egg? That's what sulfur water is. You'll find a spring. I've got one on my property that's got sulfur in it. See? But let me tell you something. I also know that spring also has fresh water in it. Because I was there when they drilled the well that next to it. And they hit the fresh water and we had fresh water. Had them to go on a little farther and it turned to sulfur water. Now, what comes to the top? The sulfur water. You don't ever taste the fresh water. Because the sulfur water overcomes the fresh water. See, it can't be both. It can't be fresh water and it can't be sulfur water at the same time. One or the other is going to win. And it's the sulfur water. But I got good news for you. God can clean up your spring. He can clean up your bitter water in your spring if you let Him. There's a way to clean up your spring. There's a way to clean up your mouth. There's a way to clean up your life. There's a way to clean up your heart. But that spring has both in it. I know for a fact that it has both in it. It has a fresh water vein in it and it has a sulfur water vein in it. But all you taste, all that is manifested at the surface is the sulfur water. Because it poisons the fresh water. Say, well, I got some fresh water in my life. I know a little bit of things about God. Why is it that we only see the sulfur water? Because it poisons what else is in your life. The good things that you have in your life is poisoned by the bad things. See? What you are is what will show up. That's why a person can walk in and be worshiping God and, you know, singing How I Love Jesus, go back out and curse people, and sooner or later you're going to find out how that person really is. The true person is going to show up sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. You know, I got to where anymore, I just say, hey, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Or he'll tell me ahead of time what this person is going to do. Because of the capability that's inside them. That they're capable of a certain thing. And then he leaves it to me to make a decision. Do I want to have a part with them? Do I want them to be a part of my life? Do I want them to be a part of the ministry? I make the choice of whether I want them to be or not. He tells me ahead of time. You know, he tells me, he says, this is what their capability is. This is what's inside them. This is the poison water that's inside them. It's up to you. Do you want to go ahead? And I'll make that decision. But at least I go in knowing ahead of time what they're going to do or what they got the capability of. So he says here, he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. See, your tree is known by the fruit that you produce. Whatever kind of tree you are, if you're an apple tree, you're going to produce apples. You can't produce figs. See, whatever you are, that's what you're going to produce. That's the kind of tree that you are. And that fruit is going to show up on that vine sooner or later. Now, it's a process. When that apple tree started way before it produced the apples. It started out a seed planted in the ground that germinated. And then a little blade showed up. And then that grew into a sprout. And then that sprout grew into a tree. And then that tree grew for a little while and then it produced fruit. Well, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. You got there because of a reason. You got there because you didn't use the Word of God to correct what you're supposed to be doing, what your tree's supposed to be producing, even producing any fruit at all. See? What you do to that tree over a period of time determines whether it has any fruit on it at all. But you're going to be what you're going to be. See, the kind of tree that you are shows up sooner or later. Amen. It's just a matter of time. You can't hide it. You can't hide the sulfur water inside the good spring. You can't hide it because the sulfur will show up. Every time I turn on the tap, the sulfur water shows up. Every time. It'll always show up. You'll always show up. Whatever you are, whatever kind of person you are, it'll always show up. Sooner or later. Let's take this just a little bit farther. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Let's read that again. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Remember in Jude 19, he says, you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up where? Building yourselves up in the Spirit. Against what? Above what? Self-seeking, deceit, envy, jealousy, division, strife, building yourself up above it. That's why we stay after you to pray in tongues, because sooner or later, your tree is going to produce some good fruit. If you'll just stay after it, if you'll just hang in there, if you'll do the things necessary, but if you just continue on and let it be a bad tree that doesn't produce any fruit or produces rotten fruit, then it's going to be that way the rest of your life. At some point, you have to make a decision. I'm going to do the things necessary to change that tree. Well, he's trying tonight, but I tell you what, we're not going to let him accomplish it. What is it that's making the racket? Is it me? Oh, it's not me? Okay. Okay. Somebody got a cell phone on? I told you last night that all would be revealed. But you're going to have to do something necessary to produce fruit on your tree and to change that old rotten fruit that you keep producing. And if you don't do the things necessary over a period of time, see what you are, what I was getting at, what you are didn't happen overnight.
Amen.
If you're a liar, you didn't just decide one day to start lying.
Amen.
If you're self-seeking and deceitful, it didn't start one day. It didn't happen overnight. See? Well, it's not going to change overnight. And you can't just sit there and stand there, in your case, sit in a pew and not do anything to change those things and expect it to change. You can't just be a tree standing there and not do something to that apple tree to get it to grow fruit. You got to fertilize it. You got to prune it. You got to cultivate around it. You got to do the things necessary for it to produce fruit. And until you do, it'll be the same old fruitless apple tree. Producing nothing or having rotten fruit or fruit that falls to the ground ahead of time. See, it won't be profitable. Well, you want to be a profitable person, don't you? You want to be a profitable person in this life. Profitable, I hope, to the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a person that's profitable for the kingdom of God. See, well, you've got to do something. You got to do something in the days to come to change the tree that you are, to change your well, to get the good water coming out of your well. You got to use something to seal off that sulfur water that's in that well where you produce sweet water, good, sweet, clear, cold water. See? You can't just sit there and not do nothing and expect it to change. It won't change. It'll always be the same. But the wisdom, in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits. There's those good fruits again. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Turn with me. You might keep a marker there, but turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Glory be to God. I want to share something with you here right quick that goes right along with this. John chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, I'm kind of like Pastor Dave said one time. He said he'd like to have seen Nathanael write a book in the Bible. Because he knew that if he wrote a book in the Bible, that whatever was in that book would be pure truth. Because he said, here is someone with no guile in them. No deceit in them whatsoever. Is Nathanael. That's how Jesus described him. Well, I'd kind of like that myself. I'd kind of like to have seen him to write a book in the Bible. Because it had been pure. There wouldn't have been anything in there. I couldn't have questioned, not that I'd question anything anyhow, because the Word of God is the Word of God. But it would have been interesting for him to have written a book in the Bible, you know, and about the angels and stuff that he's seen ascending and descending.
Amen.
All of that. That'd have been wonderful, wouldn't it?
Amen.
But he said, here is someone that there is no guile, there is no deceit in him. But then he's not mentioned again that I know of in the rest of the Word. See? All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's start in verse 1 there also. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, you've got to not only hear the word of God, but you've got to mix faith with the word of God for it to produce in your life. So that's why you do the things necessary. You know, we're concentrating on the Word of God this weekend because I feel like that we've fallen short in some areas in that area and not taking the time to address some things in your lives and use the Word of God to root them out. But he says this. He says that faith has to be mixed in with this. You can have the Word of God and the Word of God will help produce the faith, and other things in the Word of God like prayer and fasting and worship, all of those things help produce the faith in your life. You mix that faith with the Word of God, and that's how you become profitable, see? See, it all works together. You can't just say, I'm just going to have one thing. I'm just going to do one thing and expect for it all to work. No, it all works together, see? You'll fall short. You don't want to fall short. You want to be able to produce the fruit on the tree. Well, if you don't do all the things necessary, if you don't have all those things activated in your life, you're not going to produce that fruit. You're not going to get out of where you're at and get into another place in Him. You're not going to be able to stop what the enemy is doing in your life unless you use all those things necessary to stop him with. That's what they're there for. It's for you to walk in victory. It's for you to produce fruit in your life. See? Hallelujah. Let's go on and take it a little bit farther here. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he who has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. You want to enter into his rest? First step into entering into his rest is salvation. You must be born again. That's the rest that he's talking about, his salvation of being born again. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Who's he talking about there? Those that were in Egypt. They didn't enter into his rest. They stayed in disobedience. They didn't believe. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What did they do in Egypt? They hardened, when they were going to the promised land, they hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts toward God. And if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, see, it wasn't Joshua that was able to give them their rest. It's the Lord. You can't harden your heart toward God. Can't just say, well, I'm giving up. This is too hard. I'm not going any farther. You can't harden your heart toward God and enter into the fullness of His rest. So you've got to always be there, open to receiving from God and applying the things that He has in His Word to be able to go forward, to enter into the fullness of that rest. We're still talking about producing fruit on your tree. We're still talking about you walking a life of victory. See? There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own works. You have to have that dependency upon God. You have to have the dependency upon the Word of God. You can't enter into it on your own works. It's by His Spirit, by His Word. Through Him is how you enter in. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's read that again. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. How many of you know that just because somebody says something to you and use the pretense that it's from God, that it's not out of their soul? See, some people can get up and prophesy to you, and it can be out of their soul, not be prophesying by the Spirit. The only way you're going to know it is if you know the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to divide that between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, and is a discerner of the thoughts, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You've got to have the Word of God. You've got to be using the Word of God upon your life.
Amen.
The only way you're going to know if you're on the right track, doing the things that you're supposed to do, walking the way you're supposed to walk, walking in the light, walking after God, is with the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to help you discern whether you're walking in the right direction. The enemy's slick. He can deceive you. He can make it look and sound like it's God. It's only the Word of God and the truth in the Word that is going to help you decide whether you're walking the right direction and walking after God or not.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to make that help you make that decision. You've got to have the Word of God in your life. And if you never crack the book, if you never open the book open, you're not going to know it.
Amen.
If you don't spend time in the Word of God, you're not going to have anything to compare spiritual with spiritual. As he said in 1 Corinthians, you know, he wrote the whole book of Corinthians toward Christians that were barely born again, that were babies.
Amen.
He called them babies. The only thing that's going to help you and help you make that decision whether this is Christ-like or not, whether this is of God or not, is the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, and if you're not getting in the Word of God, you're not going to know it.
Amen.
And some people say, well, I'm just going to pray in tongues and that's all I'm going to do. Well, praying in tongues will take you to a place that you'll want to go farther into God. It'll take you to a place that you desire more of the Word of God. It'll take you to a place that you desire to do the things in this Word even more so. But let me tell you something. Fasting will do some things to help praying in tongues. And praying in tongues does some things that fasting didn't do. But let me tell you something else. There's some things in your life that you're never going to get out and get free of unless you get in and meditate the Word of God. And you can't meditate the Word of God without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See? You want to walk after Him? You want to walk after light? You're going to have the Word of God. You're going to have that to help that old apple tree produce some apples. You got some branches on that tree that are not of God. They don't line up with the Word of God. You say, well, I had a dream the other night. Is it of God or not? Look in the Word of God and see if it lines up with the Word of God. Don't call me to do it. Get in there yourself.
Amen.
You know, I'm out to help people and complete their joy as much as I can, but I'm not here to interpret all your dreams. I'm not here to interpret everything that you get from God or that you feel like God is speaking from you. I'm not an interpreter as such. I don't carry around a shingle on my back that says the interpreter. That's what the Word of God is for. That's why we take the Word of God and meditate the Word of God. Does this line up with the Word of God or not? You old lazy outfit, get in the Word of God. But your spring is going to flow sulfur water. It's going to flow bitter water unless you start cleaning it up. And the only way to clean it up is start turning the Word of God upon yourself. I thought the Word of God was for me to cast out the devil with in Jesus' name. It is. But it's also for you to take the Word of God as a two-edged sword. Two-edged means it cuts both ways. You got to turn it back on yourself and see which one of your old dead limbs needs cut off.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God is for. Just to make a decision. Well, this limb is not going to produce anything. All it's doing is producing rotten fruit, and I haven't seen any rotten fruit in a long time. Whack! It's gone. See, you take the Word of God and turn it back on yourself, then you can start producing some fruit. Your old well that produced the sulfur water pretty soon will have that sulfur zone stopped up and you'll be producing good, sweet, clean water someday.
Hallelujah.
But you can't do it just staying right where you're at and not doing nothing about it. You can't just sit in a pew forever and not clean up that well of bitter water. Thank God you have a hope in Him. In His Word, that you can clean that up and have a good flowing well. Have a tree that produces good fruit. Glory to God. Thank God for Him. Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. That is sharper and powerful than a two-edged sword that divides the intents of the heart. What's in your heart? Well, we know. We'll know sooner or later. You can't hide it forever. I just have to use this example. I like to have my own examples most of the time, but I just got to use this example. It's like the married couple that went to the marriage seminar. They got back home after going to the marriage seminar, and you know, at the marriage seminar, they was taught, you know, so much that you could do by your will, you know. So they got back from the marriage seminar, and loving husband, he's going to cook breakfast for his wife every day of the week. So he goes in the first day and fixes her pancakes, maple syrup, bacon, sizzling over the fire. Smell that. Smell that. I can just smell that. And brings it to her with a rose on her plate. Oh, you're such a loving husband. I just love you so much. I'm so happy to do it for you, wifey. I'm just so happy to do it for you because I love you. Goes on the second day and he cooks pancakes, bacon sizzling over the fire. Smell that aroma. Isn't that wonderful? Makes you want to drink a glass of orange juice, don't it? Second day, brings it to her in bed with a rose on her plate. The third day, pancakes. bacon rose on the plate. The fourth day, he brings her the pancakes, bacon on the platter, on the plate, flour, rose on the plate. She says, "Don't we have anything besides pancakes and bacon in this house?" And he says, "Well, I didn't want to cook it for you now." See, your will, your willing things, and trying to determine yourself will only go so far. You got to have God's help. You got to have His Word. You got to have the Holy Spirit. It'll take you all the way. It'll take you over where you actually love your wife, where you actually love your husband. It'll take you all the way. It won't take you just part. But you got to do something about it. You can't just sit there. See? You can't just sit in a pew and come to church. Your fruit is going to show up sooner or later. You can put on a good show in church. You can put on a good show every Wednesday evening, every Sunday morning. You can put on a good show. You can even show up for prayer on Sunday evening. You can put on a good show. But the real you is going to come forth and stand up sooner or later. You've got to start doing something about that old tree. You've got to start doing something about that well of bitter water. Glory to God. But He has a way. It's called the Word of God. You've got to start taking the Word of God. You know, some people think that because they're reading the Word of God, then they're meditating it. Reading the Word of God is not meditating it. Reading and memorization, that just assists in meditation of the Word. You want to meditate the Word of God, you've got to get the Holy Spirit involved in your reading. You've got to get to praying in other tongues and get that Word of God out and start reading it over and over and over and stopping and listening to Him, what He's got to say about those verses, and read it over and over and over and over again. And I'm talking about a lot of times to get the Holy Spirit involved. He is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's the master teacher. Get Him involved in that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. I'm glad He didn't leave me as an orphan. I'm glad He didn't leave me without someone to lead me and to guide me and to direct me. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I wasn't left on this earth as an orphan. I'm glad that Jesus, when He left, He sent the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead. It's not an it, He's a who.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is not an it, He's a who. Glory be to God forever. And He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll take you down the road you need to take in order to produce fruit on your tree, in order to produce good water in your well. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, glory, hallelujah. How many smelt the bacon frying in the pan?